God who gives me power to get wealth.
Yes. Thank
the
Lord.
Glory be to God. So if you have a Bible, mm-hmm. we'll build our faith here a little bit in the art of giving and receiving. Amen. Right? Now, I was thinking about this week. I think about these kind of things all the time, but this week I was thinking, imagine if you were an alien, right? Or you met an alien came from some other world. Can you grasp this?
Yeah.
Some other world. He knew nothing about, you know, this earth or the people on it or how things worked. It's just completely foreign to him, right? He didn't know anything. You know, he saw you breathing air and went, that's strange, right? So an alien, completely foreign, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And then you say, hold out your hand. Assume he had a hand, okay? The alien had a hand. He holds out his hand, and you take a seed, right? A seed, let's say an apple seed. I was going to bring one, I forgot. An apple seed, and you put it in his hand, and you said, if you take this seed and you bury it in the ground, it will produce 100 more seeds. Or in a case of an apple seed, it'll produce thousands and thousands over and over, year after year. And this alien would be like, what kind of place is this where I can take a simple thing like this that looks like a dead substance and just put it in the ground on this planet? Think of this. You're on a planet that God created for prosperity. You could just drop that seed on the ground and it would produce. Mm-hmm. Say, I'm on a planet that God created that I could just drop a seed and it would produce. A hundredfold. And people say God isn't for prosperity. They don't know God. He created it this way. Amen. You have to fight against it to not prosper. You understand that?
Yes.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
That God created a place where you can just take a seed and drop it on the ground, just bury it and wait a while and it would come up and produce 100 more exactly like it. Mm-hmm. How awesome is that? That's the earth you're on. That's the God we're with on. Say,
that's the God
I'm with on this earth. Now, having said that, did you find Galatians? Would that make you excited about sowing seed?
Yes.
It should. Galatians chapter, what do you think? Six. Galatians 6. Let's look at verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. That kind of shows you where you should give. That would be good ground. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
Verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Is this true?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Verse 8, for he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit, say sows to the Spirit,
sows to the Spirit,
shall of the Spirit reap, what is he going to reap? Everlasting life. And we know that that is the substance and force of heaven. Heaven runs on that. Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. That's what you're going to reap. Where does it say you're going to reap from? The Spirit. Now, I'm not yelling at you at all here. I'm just going to tell you what God was saying to me. Is that okay?
Yes.
I'm preaching it for me as well as for anybody else. Did I turn this on?
Yeah.
All right. Glory be to God. You still here?
Yes.
Well, we of the Spirit reap. Now listen, you spend a certain percentage, let's say 90%. I really don't know the percentage here. I'm just going to use that as a, well, that seems like most of your time. Right? You spend 90% or most of your time in your mind. Is that true?
Yeah.
Pretty much we walk around with our mind, right? We spend most of our time in our mind or in our flesh. Our mind would be thinking things and our flesh would be feeling things. Mm-hmm. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
So we're spending a majority, a vast majority of our time there. Mm-hmm. Yet all of my blessings come from the Spirit. Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
So we're spending 90% of our time in the mind, in the mental realm, trying to figure things out. You ever try to do that? How's it gonna come to pass? Figuring it out. Or in the flesh, worrying about whether it will work out. Yet all of my blessings come from the Spirit, and the Spirit's inside of you. You understand? The question is, why? What's up with that? That's what I felt. I felt God looking at me and saying that. What's up with that? You know that the blessings all come from the Spirit, right? Yeah. And yet you spend most of your time where the blessings aren't coming from. Why? What's up with that? Mm-hmm. Are you here?
Yeah.
All right, I'm not yelling at you, I'm yelling at me. And I spend a lot of time, you understand that, right? I probably spend more time than most. What's up? Where does the power come from? The Spirit, right?
Yes.
From your mind? The mind of the power of the mind, or the power of your arms? No, it power comes from the Spirit. What about the power to get wealth? Where would that come from then? The power to get wealth comes from the Spirit. All of his blessings come from the Spirit, of the Spirit. You sow to the Spirit time, worship the Word, and of the Spirit you reap, right? Everlasting life. Whatever that part of everlasting life you need. If it's financial, if it's healing, whatever it is, you got to reap it from the Spirit. Of the Spirit reap. Are you getting this?
Yes.
The power to get wealth. We know God gives power to get wealth. Does he not?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where does it come from? Comes from the Spirit, right? Would you know it if it came? We hope so, but most people are so caught up in their mind or in their body, they're not sowing to the Spirit, they're not aware of it. It might just pass them by. Mm-hmm. Are you here?
Yes.
Power to get wealth comes from the Spirit. Would you know it if it came? He gives it. Are you here?
Yes.
He gives it. The Bible says he gives power to get wealth. Well, he's giving it. Say, he's giving it.
He's giving it.
But do I know it if it comes? Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
Where does he give it? He gives it. Where does he give it? If I'm God, well, I'm not God, but if, let's say God, and he's going to give you power to get wealth, we know he does it. He's going to give it to you. Where does he give it? In your bank account, in your job, in your business. Where? No, he gives it to you in your spirit. And would you know it if it came? Where do you know it? Where do you know when it came? He gives it. It goes to the Spirit. Where do you know whether you've got it or not?
In your spirit.
In your spirit, man. This isn't a trick question. I guess it's probably trying to trick you here. No. That's where he gives it. That's where you know. The Bible says we perceive, we know, we discern by our spirit, man.
Mm-hmm.
When God gave us something. Is this any good? Well, wealth and riches be in my house. Is that a verse of scripture?
Yes.
God, listen, God has given you wealth and riches. It's already there. He told me that this week. He said it's already there. It already exists. But where do you access it from? Where do you go to get it? By the Spirit, and often by speaking. Say this: wealth and riches be in my house. It's a spiritual substance. It happens in the Spirit. You speak from your spirit. It's happening now. Say, it's happening now.
It's happening now.
It's pretty funny. Makes me want to laugh. It's happening right now. Are you getting this? All right, go to Acts. This is fun. This is kind of just another part here. Acts, if I get too long-winded, just throw a shoe at me or something. Acts chapter 4. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory be to God forever. Did you find it?
Yeah.
Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Let's look at verse 32. Ooh. Yeah. Well, let's look at verse 31. That one's good too. Yeah. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began, and they spake the word of God with boldness. What did they do when they were filled with the Holy Ghost? Spoke the word of God. See, they spoke with tongues at the beginning. These are the same people. And then when the Holy Ghost came on them this time, they spoke the word of God. It could have been in tongues too. Mm-hmm. Because when you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking the word of God, right? Yeah. Yeah. But either way, you can be moved on by the Holy Ghost to speak the word of God. Verse 32, Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and what? Great grace was upon them all. Say, great grace.
Great grace.
So something was on them. Is that, does your Bible say that?
Yes.
What was on? Great grace was on them all. Remember that. Verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked. Now, do you remember me preaching on the power of no lack? This great grace brought to them no lack. Mm-hmm. Can you see this? Neither was there any among them that lacked. And we know from last week and the week before, that's a power of the world to come. Mm-hmm. Came by speaking the word of God by the Holy Ghost, and came by great grace. Say great.
Great.
That's different than regular grace. Mm-hmm. That's superior grace. Mm-hmm. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of, are you still here? Maybe you wanted to go home. Well, wait, you are home. For as many as were possessors, say possessors, of lands, right? Or houses, sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. So he said great grace was on them. And let me read it again. As many as were possessors of lands. Say lands.
Lands.
Is that more than one land?
Yes.
Yeah. Houses. Is that more than one house?
Yes.
Because I used to read this and go, oh, so people that had houses sold them and brought the price, where would that person be?
Then
that person would be the one in need of a place to stay. What are they gonna do? Give him his house back? Yeah. It made no sense. Yeah. But here we see, obviously, that these people had more than one house. Say more than one house.
More than one house.
They had more than one land.
More than one land.
Right? And then they were able to sell that. Does it take grace to sell? Can you imagine? Here we have all these people. There had to be many of them. There were thousands of people there. And it said all that were possessors were able to sell their land. Mm-hmm. Is there great grace to sell land? What about to sell houses? Mm-hmm. Are you here? Yeah. Say great grace.
Great grace.
Comes on me. To sell lands and houses. Now, let me ask you a question. Could they sell a land and a house that they didn't have? It said they were possessors of them. So the grace had to be there for them to have it first. It had to be God's will for them to have more than one house and more than one land, mm-hmm, in order to have it, say to have it,
to
possess it, and then sell it. Mm-hmm. Are you here?
Yes.
This grace had to include owning more than one land or one house. Mm-hmm. Say that on your lips. Owning
more
than one land
or one house.
How many more is that? I guess it's as many as, you know, God fits to grace you. Mm-hmm. Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
Because when they sold it, they didn't become homeless. They sold it and they brought the price that of the increase that they sold. Do you understand?
Yes.
Anyway. Are you getting this? Mm-hmm. So So there was no lack among them. They had lands, they had. So they must have owned them first for this scripture to be relevant. And it must have been God's will for them to have it if it was his will and grace for them to sell it. Are you here? If you believe that, is way more than most people believe. And they laid down the increase of that at the apostles' feet, verse 35, and distribution was made to every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land. What must he have done first? He must have had land. And sold it. So he had to have it and sell it. He had to get it and sell it. Is there grace for getting? Is there grace for having? Is there grace for selling? Is it supernatural? Is it part of what we are called to be in? Are you here? Is this any good? The Bible calls it great grace. Well, I don't know about the grace there, having land and sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Is this any good?
Yes.
Go to 2 Corinthians. God's great grace. Try that on for size. God's great grace. Say God's great grace.
Great grace.
Does it include those things?
Yes.
Most people would say no, but we know differently because the Word of God says so. Are you here? So 2 Corinthians 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's look at verse 7. Every man, are you there? 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God what? Loves a cheerful giver. Isn't that good? Now if somebody's going to give something, what has to be there first? He has to have it. Thank you. In order to give it, you have to have it. And God loves a cheerful giver.
Amen.
Can you connect these two? If God loves for you to be a cheerful giver, he has to love for you and provide something for you to have in order to give.
Yes.
And if he really loves it, when you love something, what do? You get more of it, right? God loves a cheerful giver. So he loves to give you things in order for you to give them. Because you can't give them unless you have them. Let's read verse on. Let's read verse 8. You still here?
Yes.
And God is able to make all grace. Now that would include the great grace.
Yeah.
You understand?
All.
Say God. Makes all grace abound toward me. See, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having. Is that in your Bible?
Yes.
I hope you see it now. Is there a having in your Bible?
Mm-hmm.
In order for you to always have something to give, you must first have it.
Right.
And the grace includes the having of it as well as the giving of it. I hope you're excited about this, because God is going to bring things to you, bring things across your path that you may have them and enjoy them. He's a God that brings things for all things for you to enjoy, and then he will be happy when you're able to give it. And guess what happens when you give it? It's given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, say all things, may abound to every good work. Is this any good? All right. Glory be to God. Well, hold your tithe, your offering in your hand. Glory be to God. Say this after me. God.
God.
I worship you. I thank you that you are making all grace abound towards me, that I always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work and please you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Holy Ghost, you're God in the earth today.
Glory be to God. Did you find it? Hebrews chapter 12. Let's pray. Holy Ghost, worship you. Thank you that you're God in the earth today. I thank you that you're pleased with this message. I thank you that this message is anointed for the ears of the hearer, that they may hear it and come up and not be held to a lower part of life, but come up to the great life, says the Spirit of God. And I shall anoint you and quicken you, and we shall walk together in great things of which there is no limit. So come up and lift up your eyes and see. I'm here and I will help you, and we thank you for it, Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, so Hebrews chapter 12. Let's see here. Now we're going to start a new series, if you're all right with that. You know, we were talking about no lack, and I had a whole bunch of other stuff on no lack, but I felt like we needed to go here, which means I will be talking about no lack, which is a power of the world to come. You think we'll be talking about no lack anymore?
Yes.
It's a power of the world to come. We've kind of mentioned it a little bit this morning in the offering. Remember that? They had no lack. It was a thing they had. Right, it was part of a great grace that was on them. Anyway, so there will be more on no lack coming. But anyway, Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to begin a new series on worship and the fear of the Lord. Now both of these things are very interconnected. One could be replaced by the other, and you know, you wouldn't be wrong in doing so. If when you see worship you see the fear of the Lord, or when you see the fear of the Lord you see worship, right? They're very close, interconnected things. So let's see here. Hebrews chapter 12. And let's look at verse 27. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things which are shaken, as of things that are made, and of those things which cannot be, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now verse 28. You still there? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom, say receiving a kingdom.
Receiving a kingdom.
Are we receiving a kingdom?
Yes.
Yeah, we're receiving a king. Where do we receive the kingdom? In the great by and by? No, we're receiving it now. The kingdom of God is with you and within you. You understand? He's also the kingdom of the Holy Ghost. For the kingdom of God is in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Where's the kingdom? In the Holy Ghost, right? Receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have, what's that again? Grace. Ooh, I'm excited about it. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God. Now that word serve there in other translations and could be translated what? Worship. Say serve,
serve.
And worship.
And worship.
Same word translated in other places of Scripture, with the same Greek word is translated worship in other, in some instances, and sometimes serve. You understand that?
Yes.
It says that we may worship God acceptably with reverence. Say reverence.
Reverence.
And godly fear. So we got reverence and godly fear, both applying to serving God or worship. Mm-hmm. They're very similar. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Serving God or worshiping God is, it includes, it would include, according to this, reverence and godly fear. I wrote down extreme reverence would be worship. You worship something extremely reverent to it. Mm-hmm. You understand? Am I getting this across?
Yes.
So worship is more than just saying, I worship you, Holy Ghost. It includes obviously much more. Now, I've had to drive that point home, and I have many messages on it, that you need to use the words, "I worship you, Holy Ghost." It sets you in line. If you should worship God, you probably should open your mouth and say, "I worship you, God." Mm-hmm. Right? That's part of what we're designed to do. And so it really begins there. Say, "It begins there."
It begins there
with you opening up your mouth and saying, "I worship you, Holy Ghost." But it doesn't end there. It includes a whole lot more than just saying, "I worship you, Holy Ghost." It certainly involves saying, but it includes more. Mm-hmm. You understand? And what we're going to see here, well, even there, it says serving God, worshiping God. That's probably why they use it that way. You're serving is an act. Serving is something you're doing, but you're worshiping God, right? So worship is more than just saying, or fearing the Lord is more than just saying. It's a lifestyle, say a lifestyle, or a living, or a way of living. Are you here? Mm-hmm. Of knowing God. A lifestyle of knowing God, learning about God, and walking with God. Right? Worship is more than just saying, "I worship you, Holy Ghost." It certainly begins there, but it includes the doing of living a life with God. Say, with God.
With God.
Pleasing God. Remember, we talk about walking with God in the earth by saying words, right? Pleasing God. Worship is more than just saying, "I worship you, Holy Ghost." It includes that, but it also is pleasing God. If I'm going to worship God, I have to do things that please Him. Well, what pleases Him? What's the first thing that should come to your mind that pleases God? Faith pleases God. In fact, it's impossible to please Him without faith. Well, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you're going to have to learn how to use the Word of God to get faith to please God. That's part of your worship. Are you here? That's part of fearing God. Pleasing God and not displeasing Him. There's things that people do that displease God. Number one, in their words and in their lack of faith, right?
Yes.
Or in doing actions, and a lot of those things should be obvious, right? Pleasing God in faith, in righteousness, and in holiness. A lifestyle, say a lifestyle.
A lifestyle.
A way of living, or people could say a religion. A way of living your life in a religious capacity, that you're pleasing God, that you're worshiping God, that you're serving God. Does this make sense?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says you will be a peculiar person. 1 Peter 2:9 says that He will make you. Think of it. If you start walking with God in the earth, and you're pleasing Him, and you're not doing anything that displeases Him, because you're fearing the Lord and you're worshiping Him, you are going to be a strange person to other people who aren't.
True.
Does this make sense?
Yes.
He says, peculiar, chosen nation, a chosen person, a peculiar person. Well, so what? You know, people say, "Oh, you're strange." Let's say you're strange. Why don't you walk with God? You could. Are you here? So worship is more than just saying, "I worship you." It involves your whole life, a way of doing life. Does that make sense? I'm going to do life this way. You might not have done it before, but I'm going to do it this way now because I worship God and I fear God. Are you getting this? A way of doing life that transforms you from glory to glory. Worshiping God is a way of life that will transform you from glory to glory, mm-hmm. to glory, then eventually to glory. Are you here?
Yes.
It also transforms you from good to acceptable to what?
Perfect.
And you won't get there without worshiping God. You won't get to the perfect will of God without worshiping God. Are you here?
Because
it's a different operation. It does something different. Anyway, worship also includes, and eventually, say eventually, you begin to act like God, talk like God, look like God, smell like God, do life like God does life. Why would that be? Because you're walking with Him. It begins with saying, I worship you, Holy Ghost. Then you're talking like God talks, right? You're acting like God would have you act, like He acts. The Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Mm-hmm. Are you here?
Yes.
It doesn't make you God, but it certainly makes you like God. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're going with this whole worship thing and fearing the Lord. We begin to be like Him. We're changed from glory to glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, into His image.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, if that's true, and it is, who are we worshiping? Who is God? Let's go to I know you people here have a really good idea where this is going. 1 Timothy chapter 6. What verse should we look at? 1 Timothy chapter 6:17, you say? All right. It says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches. Did it say charge them that are rich in this world that they give away all their riches and become destitute and poor?
No.
No. It said just don't trust in them, but trust in, right? That's implied there, but in the living God. Say living God.
Living God.
The living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. That's our lifestyle. Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
What do people do when they have riches of the world? It brings them up to a certain lifestyle, right? But God say, don't trust in that. Trust in me. I'm the living God. I will bring you into this lifestyle. And that's what we're talking about. Worship is a lifestyle or a way of doing life where you're walking with God. Now, who is God? Here it says the living God. Now, I have a whole series on this called Knowing the Holy Ghost as the Living God. The Bible takes you through it. You go, you look this series up online if you want and listen to it. The Bible clearly says that the Holy Ghost is the living God,
mm-hmm.
and He's the God in the earth today. So, if we're trusting in the living God, who are we trusting in? Who should we be worshiping? The Holy Ghost, because He's the living God. Now, it says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust. Now, another word for trust would be believe,
mm-hmm.
or would be faith. Or you could say belief system,
mm-hmm.
right? Or you could even go as far as say religion. You're not going to religion in. Do people religion in the wealth of this world?
Yes.
Yeah. He's saying not that. We're not going to religion in that. We're going to religion in living God.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the living God? Holy Ghost. God in the earth today. And in that, He will richly provide you with all things for your enjoyment. Is this any good?
Mm-hmm.
Gives us richly, that's your living. All things to enjoy, that's your way of life. Where do you get this? With the living God. Who are we supposed to worship? The living God. Now go to 2 Corinthians. We're talking about who. Who are we to worship? We know we should worship God. Well, who? Well, obviously, it's the living God. Go 2 Corinthians. Glory be to God forever.
Yes.
2 Corinthians chapter 3. And what verse should we read?
17?
17 would be good, yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Now the Lord is that spirit. What spirit is that spirit that we're talking about?
The Holy Ghost.
That'd be the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Other translations say, where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. Who's the God that we're worshiping in the earth today? The Holy Ghost. And where He's Lord, there's liberty. Liberty would be a lifestyle. that we would obtain by the Spirit of the Lord. And look, it says, and we are all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. Holy Ghost, are changed into the same image. What image? A different image? No, the image of the Holy Ghost. That is worship. That is the ultimate point of worship. I don't know if I should, I'll use it, I don't know, we'll see how it comes out. Remember Michael Jordan? He was a pretty good basketball player, right? Some would say probably arguably the best. I used to enjoy, I never watched basketball much, but I'd watch him. Mm-hmm. People be like, you know, it'd come down, they need like several baskets to, you know, win the game, and Michael be there and they go, give me the ball. Mm-hmm. And all they'd have to do is give it to him and he'd go in and make the basket almost every time. Mm-hmm. Right? Well, young kids would almost to the degree worship him. They would buy all his stuff. They'd shave their head like he did. They'd do all of these things because they wanted to be like Mike. Have you ever heard that? Mm-hmm. I want to be like Mike. I don't know if that's a good example or not, but I'm trying to get across the point that worship includes more than just saying, I worship. They didn't just say, I worship Michael Jordan. No, they applied their effort to it and they started looking like it. Mm-hmm. They started acting like him. Are you here?
Yes.
It's the same. Look at this. It says, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Who are we being changed into? The image of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he's in us. We're talking like him, we're thinking like him, we're gonna get into more of this, we're acting like him, we're walking like him in the earth. We are his temple, for goodness sakes. Are you here? From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Are you getting any of this? This is pointing in the direction that worship is a lot more than just saying the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost. That's what I'm trying to get across, right? It entails the whole of your life being changed from one to the next to the next, from good to acceptable to perfect, right?
Yeah.
And it's by worshiping the Holy Ghost, who's God in the earth today. Why? Because now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. Now, John, you don't have to turn there. You can look at it later if you want. John chapter 4, verse 24 says, God is a Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Who do we worship? Holy Ghost, God the Spirit. Right?
Yes.
See, now, we here in this room especially, we go, hey, yeah, he's talking about worshiping the Holy Ghost again. You know how foreign that is to people that haven't heard this message? Mm-hmm. You're supposed to worship the Spirit of God? Yes, because he's God. God is a Spirit, and they that worship him are doing so in spirit and in truth. It's the truth. I can take you through Bible verse after Bible verse after Bible verse showing you that the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and we're supposed to worship him. Are you here?
Yes.
Joshua 24:15, again, you don't have to turn there. It says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Now remember, the word serve could be translated worship. Choose you. You have to choose to worship. Who are you going to worship? I say this, I choose to worship the Holy Ghost
as God
in the earth
today.
Are you here?
Yes.
Choose you this day. Today. Isn't it good that he's God in the earth today? Mm-hmm. Well, either the Holy Ghost is God today or he's not. You understand that? You got to come to that point where you can go, okay, I understand this. Now I choose to worship him. Mm-hmm. Right? You have to choose to. Nobody's going to make you. But as you begin, listen, as you begin to worship him, he will begin to transform you and change you from one glory to the next into his image, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Is this any good?
Yes.
It's pretty exciting when you begin to know who he actually is. By the way, he created and owns the heavens and the earth. Is that pretty good to know? Yeah, it'd be good to know him, right? Well, worshiping and fearing the Lord is knowing him and walking with him in a way that other people can't. I'm just going to say that again. Worshiping the Lord, the Holy Ghost, and fearing the Lord, the Holy Ghost, enables you to know him in a way that other people can't. You think that message goes over big? Well, that's too bad. Job 36:11, you don't have to turn there. If you obey and serve him. Him who? Him, the Holy Ghost. If you obey, what does obey mean? You do what he says. And serve. Say, and serve.
And serve.
What is serve? Could be translated as worship. If you obey and worship him, you will spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasures. That's lifestyle. That's the way you live. Are you here?
Yes.
So your lifestyle is involved in worshiping the Holy Ghost. Are you getting this? So it's not just using the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost. You understand that? But it is actually doing things in your life that line up with saying, I worship you, Holy Ghost. You're literally worshiping God and fearing God with your mouth and your life. All right. Isaiah. Is this any good?
Yes.
Isaiah chapter 11. Oh, yeah. Glory be to God forever. Isaiah chapter 11. Let's look at verse 2. You there?
Yes.
Isaiah 11 verse 2, and the root and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Who would that be? Who's the spirit of the Lord? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit Lord. Right? A lot of those little conjunction words are not there. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might. These are just names of the Holy Ghost. You understand this, right? The Spirit of the knowledge and of what?
Fear.
The fear of the Lord. It's part of his name. The fear of the Lord. Are you getting this? And verse 3, and shall make him of quick understanding in what?
In the
fear of the Lord. We know that the fear of the Lord and worshiping the Lord are very interconnected, almost meaning the same thing. When I worship the Lord, I fear the Lord. When I fear the Lord with my life, I worship the Lord. Right? I'm not going to do anything that displeases him. I'm going to do things that please him. I'm worshiping the Lord. Who am I worshiping? The Holy Ghost. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick. What does quick mean? Alive. He shall make him of living understanding. Your life shall be in living understanding of the fear of the Lord, of doing the fear of the Lord. Say, the Holy Ghost
will make me
of quick living understanding of how to fear the Lord. Is that any good?
Yes.
Let's read on here, verse but with righteousness I don't want to skip, and verse 3, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Sounds like faith to me. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. Sounds right, doesn't it? And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And verse 5, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Meaning, he's going to live his life in a specific way, in the fear of the Lord. Are you getting this? You're going to live your life extreme reverence. Have I said that? That's what I would say, that the fear of the Lord is extreme reverence, and it has to do with worshiping God. Are you here?
Yes.
All right, go to Proverbs. Proverbs. Did you find it? Proverbs chapter 1. That's right in the beginning of the book of Proverbs. The first chapter, in fact. Proverbs chapter 1. Let's look at verse 7. Did you find it?
Yes.
Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. What does your Bible say is the beginning of knowledge?
The fear of the Lord.
Now, is it possible to begin somewhere else? I guess. But then if you're still gonna have to go back to the beginning again. Mm-hmm. You understand? It says the fear of the Lord. Now, what could we say? What could we replace fear with here?
Worship.
Extreme reverence. The worship of the Lord. Who's the Lord? The Holy Ghost. Worship of the Holy Ghost is the beginning. Are you still here?
Yes.
Have people begun somewhere else?
Yes.
Besides work? Yes. And they've gone down the road so far. But if, as far as they've gone before they've gone back to the beginning of worshiping the Holy Ghost, they're going to have to be reconfigured. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I worship you, Holy Ghost, or worshiping the Holy Ghost is the beginning. Am I making this up?
No.
Fear of the Lord, worship of the Holy Ghost, is the beginning of knowledge. And we know the people have started farther down the line, and they're going to need to be reconfigured. Were you one of them?
Yes.
I was one of them. And as the farther you've gone down the road, right? I was pretty far down the road. The farther you are down, then the more reconfiguring it's going to take for you to get back on the right trail. Why? Because the beginning is the fear of the Lord, is the worship of the Holy Ghost. Is this making sense to you?
Yes.
And the further down the line you've gone, the more reconfiguration you're going to need. Worshiping the Holy Ghost is the beginning. Go with me to Galatians. Just making any sense?
Yes.
Well, I just don't believe you should worship the Holy Ghost. Well, you need to go and you listen to the beginning of this message again. You need to listen to other messages that bring you up to the place that the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today. He either is or he isn't. And if he is, you should worship him. Because worshiping him is the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the teacher, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does he teach you the beginning things? You would think a lot of people say, no, because I've already learned so much before I even knew about the Holy Ghost. Remember the people in the book of Acts chapter 19, they said to Paul, we haven't even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he had to go re-instruct them. Anyways, did you find it? Galatians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 2. This only would I learn of you. This only would I've learned of you. Well, that's pretty strong language. Received ye the Spirit. Who did they receive? The Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit. Where does this say the beginning was?
The Spirit.
The Spirit says, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? The implication is here, no, you're made perfect by dependence on the Spirit. The Amplified Bible says that. Are you now made perfect by dependence on the flesh? No, we're made perfect by dependence on the Spirit. We began in the Spirit and we're going to perfection by dependence on the Spirit. Galatians chapter 3 verse 2 and 3. Is that scripture?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in order for something to be scriptural, you need to have scriptures. Where did you begin? In the Spirit. Peter said on the day of, right, he said that it began. He called when the day of Pentecost the beginning. Anyway, this any good?
Yes.
I guess you could go there if you want. John chapter 14. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. John chapter 14. Let's look at verse 26. But the Comforter, it's in red, right? Jesus is saying it. But the Comforter, I wonder who's the Comforter? Who's he talking about? I wish he would tell us more clearly. Oh, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall. Did it say he?
Yes.
Is he a person?
Yes.
If you only had one verse of scripture that said he about him, that would be enough. But we have tons of them. He shall teach you all things. Who will teach you all things?
The Comforter.
The Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Who's going to teach you the beginning things?
The Holy Ghost.
What if you learned the wrong things at the beginning? You got to go back and learn the right things. Who's going to teach you? What if you learned a whole bunch of stuff and then all of a sudden you realize that the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today and you're supposed to worship him, and you start worshiping him? He's going to have to teach you many of the beginning things over again because you got them wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that? People getting things wrong.
Yeah.
Well, he does that. He reconfigures you. So we all can you understand that? This includes the beginning things. Jesus said when he's come, when did he come? Day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
That was the beginning of him teaching you all things. The beginning things, right?
Yes.
You don't have to turn there. Isaiah 48, 17 says, the Lord my God teaches me to profit and leads me in the way that I should go. Who is that? Holy Ghost teaching you to profit. Would that include beginning things?
Yes.
Well, he's the living God. So trusting him, knowing him, worshiping him, the living God, God who richly provides you with all things, some of those things are teaching you the beginning things. Is this making sense? Where does this happen? What was the beginning of knowledge? The fear of the Lord, the worship of the Lord was the beginning of knowledge. What if you didn't begin by worshiping the Lord? Then at some point in there, you're going to have to go back and start.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting this?
Yes.
And he says this to me, you can't go wrong worshiping me. Say, I can't.
Go wrong.
Worshiping the living God,
the Holy Ghost.
Can you?
No.
You can't. He's the teacher. He said, I'll teach you all things. You worship him, beginning of knowledge. You fear him, beginning of knowledge. He teaches you all things. Isn't this good?
Yes.
Man, this is what they should teach everybody. Gospel 101, worship the living God. He's God in the earth today. You can't go wrong worshiping me. Would your mind say you could go wrong worshiping him? Would other people say you're wrong in worshiping him? Oh my goodness, it's all over the place. But yet you can't go wrong. He's the teacher. He teaches you all things. And then he says, possess the knowledge of knowing him as great treasure. Possess the knowledge of knowing him as great treasure. Now, when you worship him, what does it do? It enables you to know him in a way that other people can't know him. Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
When you worship him, you begin to know him in a way other people can't know him. Possess that knowledge of knowing him as if it were great treasure. Why would it be great treasure? Because it is great treasure. He is your life. He is your living. He is, listen, your future. He is your financial prosperity. He is and has all of these things and more. Possess the knowledge of knowing him. And how do we know him? We worship him. and we fear him, and we don't do anything that displeases him, and we do things that please him, and we learn how to walk with him as God in the earth today. Is this making sense?
Yes.
Because worshiping God isn't just saying the words, "I worship you, Holy Ghost," right? It includes a whole lot more than that. The fear of the Lord. Are you getting this?
Yes.
Possess the knowledge of knowing him as great treasure. He is your life, your living, your future. Go to Psalms 34. We'll try to end with this. I hope I'm getting this across. Psalms chapter 34. Glory be to God forever. Did you find it?
Mm-hmm.
Psalms 34. Let's look at verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. What can we put in here for the word fear?
Worship.
Oh, worship the Lord. Who's the Lord?
The Holy Ghost
is God, the Lord in the earth today. Worship the Holy Ghost, oh you his saints, for there is no want to those that worship him or fear him. Are you getting this?
Yes.
Possess the knowledge of knowing him as great treasure. You worship the Holy Ghost, he increases his favor towards you. Remember I told you a while back, you know, in that room, there's things in that room that just aren't available to other people. He opens things up to you that he won't open up to people who don't worship him. And I showed you a scripture that says an angel, right? He encamps around about them that fear him, them,
yeah.
Right? Fear, worship. So you're a worshiper of God, and then God hears this request come up to him from you. He goes, "What? What's that request from them?" Say, "From them."
From them.
From them who? Look at this. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. What category are you in?
Them.
You're in the them. He goes, "Oh, a request from them." You know what the answer is? Whatever you want. Why? There is no want to them that fear him. There's provision and favor, super abundant favor for them.
Mm-hmm.
Them who? Those who worship, them who fear the Lord, them who, first you got to know who it is. Whatever you want. Say, whatever,
whatever.
I want.
Because I worship
the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
Are you getting this?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, if you will worship me, I will give you whatever you want. Is that any good? And part of that comes from worship. How would I know he'd said that? Because as I'm worshiping him, he says things like that. Say, as I worship him,
he says things
like that. Whatever you want is coming to you even right now. Holy Ghost, I ask you to bless them. Those things that they've secretly wanted and desired, I ask you to bring it to pass in Jesus' name. Amen.